Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Just a quick note on the railroad crossings. Again, this is continuing to move north, right? It was in the city, and then it was in sort of, you know, the west side of Pensacola, and now we're at 9 Mile and going north. And so those of you who live in Cantonment and North End, it's coming for you. It's coming for you sooner than you think, right? D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. We talk to him every Wednesday at about this time. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We have good news about parking. Lots of good news about parking, right?
Yeah. I think when you try to unbreak a broken system, it sometimes feels like you're breaking it.
Yeah.
Because change is required. But that's not always just as people may want to charge me or the city in wanting to charge more money or turning free into paid. What we're all trying to do is create a better experience and a more seamless experience for downtown. Remember, we started from a place where we weren't creating enough revenue to do anything. And in addition to that, we didn't have availability of spaces. That was the number one complaint. So we're trying to unbreak those things. And so we've obviously taken some notable steps, like them or not like them so far. But, you know, also we've got to take steps to help the experience. And so we announced yesterday, first and foremost, parkpensacola.com. If you go there, we now have an interactive map which shows you where all the paid, all the free spaces are. It also shows you what I think is vital is us showing you what we're doing with the money. And that's really got to, you know, that's a requirement, an expectation that should be of the city is if you're charging money for parking, what are you doing with it? And so we have a live tracker in real time of where we're spending that money. So you can track that. And then, but the big changes, we've added 12, 30 minute free spaces, no app, no texting, no nothing. Right there at the corner of Garden and Jefferson, the surface lot of the Jefferson garage, not the garage itself. That is free on the roof 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, as it always has been. But we have 30 minute spaces all the time, other than special events, right there, kind of next to Vinyl, those 12 spaces on the surface, the Commandencia lot, which you would say kind of behind the Holiday Inn and north of the ferry landing. 230 spaces are all now completely free. When I got here, they were charged on the weekends or at nights. And it was really for kind of an archaic reason. There was driving issues down there or people, you know, drag racing or, you know, something like that years ago. And it was just kind of, it didn't make much sense for us to be charging down there because we should be charging where there's demand. And when there's less demand, it should be free.
That was the one, by the way. There, you know me. I get frustrated every time parking spaces go away or stop being free. That was the one that most irritated me because that was always my super safety net. Like you could always park there for free, and then all of a sudden one day I'm like, "What the? Cause come on!" And so I'm glad to see those return to free.
Yeah. Well, listen, it was a Band-Aid. It was in previous years it was used as kind of a Band-Aid to solve a different issue, you know, and then what happened? Well, demand of usage of downtown went up 40%. So, you know, that's not a sufficient, that Band-Aid doesn't make sense compared to what it costs us. So now if you want free parking downtown, there's 230 spaces, almost guaranteed there'd always be one available for you right there, just south of Main Street, just east of Palafox. And, you know, most importantly, to tie it all together, whether you have ADA accessibility, limited mobility issues, or you just want to park in a free space, we will now, with city parking funds, we're running a trolley from Wright Street, right there by Palanza and Christchurch, where there's a big cluster of free parking.
Lots.
And then we're running it down Palafox to Commandencia. So you can park in either of those large sections of free parking, and you can get anywhere you want to go up and down Palafox, including if you were in a paid space on Palafox. You can wave the trolley down, of course, as well, if you've got mobility issues and things like that. So anyway, those are all kind of things that we're working, that all of that will go into effect Black Friday on November 29th.
No, and I love the fact that, as you said yesterday in the press conference, you're creating free parking or maintaining free parking at the outer perimeter of the zone, and then you're creating transportation between those free parking and the interior of the zone for people who do not want to walk that far. You know, it's only 5 or 6 blocks, but for some people that's a lot, or, you know, more than they want to walk. And
right.
So that's a really good, and that you're paying for the trolley with the funds generated by having parking fees. So that's all good stuff. Yeah, no, I love the little corner lot, the Jefferson and Garden Jordan Corner lot. That's wonderful. I actually didn't know the status of that lot. I'd never tried to park there. The fact that that's free for 30 minutes now is, or starting November 29th, that's a fantastic, wonderful little addition. Mr. Mayor, you know, you and I, probably the only issue we have had the most disagreement about has been parking. So the fact that you're doing what you're doing, and also making people more aware of like Spring Street, because people just sometimes have this mindset of staying on the east side of Palafox and don't realize there's all this free parking on the other side. Kudos. Those are all very, very good things. Let's switch gears for just a second and allow me to say something incredibly stupid that you can chastise me for. But here, I'm going to say it anyway. You guys released the strategic plan yesterday, the 8 big bullet points to figure out what we're going to do in the future and judge us by our success or failure. Civicon presentation last night. We kind of had an early preview of this last week. I'm not a fan of strategic plans. I feel like everybody tries to do them. They spend this money creating them. Nothing happens with them. In the end, it's more of a, it's like when companies create a mission statement. Oh, look, there's a mission statement. And 5 years from now, nobody has any idea what it was. It doesn't change any policy whatsoever. I want to be wrong about this because everybody seems to think I'm wrong. Convince me I'm wrong.
Yeah. Listen, I don't disagree with the notion that you described. As a matter of fact, I joked when I introduced Gale, the firm that put our strategic plan together, you know, I said, I think one of their practices of indoctrination for their young employees at this firm was, and this is true, before our first meeting, they were required to read every plan that the city of Pensacola's ever done. So, you know,
six months later,
that's a lot of work and a lot of plans. So I don't think the assumption that you make is an unfair one because of really two important things. Number one, what you're talking about is sometimes strategic plans get too visionary. So it's kind of like these big pie in the sky type things, 30-year plans, and you know. And then it just feels too unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a balance, and that's what I asked for, and that's what you'll see if you look at the strategic plan, Pensacola2035.com. You can read the whole thing. But I didn't want it too visionary, but I also didn't want it too tactical. If it says year one this, year two that, year three that, that doesn't make any sense either, because what if COVID happens? What if a hurricane comes? You know, and so that was the most important thing to me, is that we balance vision of the direction of the city with some tactical element to it. And so what I think you're describing is fair, but I think it's sometimes the fault of the construction of the plan itself. And listen, you know, I said this twice yesterday during those meetings. When you have no plan, everything fits in. So if you don't believe in a strategic plan, then the argument is, all right, well, then when a county commissioner or a city council or a whatever makes a certain decision, and that just seems to be, you know, off base of what you think is good for the city, then, you know, you ask yourself, well, where is that idea derived from? What was the goal here? You know, and so I'm a big believer in having alignment with our council, our mayor's office, and our community. 1,700 people at 20 different locations across the city gave feedback to say, this is what we want to see out of our city. So, and lastly, why I agree with what you're saying is because the mayor is responsible with it for implementation. That's what the bottom line is. So we have a plan now. And so what happens is we pass the buck on implementation. You know, and so then nothing happens. And we say, well, man, because we had that hurricane. And so that's what I should be accountable for implementation. So we'll continue to track this at least annually on how we're doing. Hey, we're doing great in this category. We haven't done anything in this category. That should be the expectation of my job.
So I'm going to give you a suggestion, which, by the way, I appreciate your comment about when you don't have a plan, anything fits it. Witness Escambia County as a whole, planning and not for not having a plan, or having a sector plan and then letting everybody opt out of it so it winds up not being a plan in the end. Here, I have a suggestion, okay, because so you have eight key things on here: attainable housing for all income levels, safe streets for all mobilities, support your youth experiences, resilient waterfronts and neighborhoods, more walkable mixed-use districts, public spaces that connect communities, thriving innovation and business, neighborhoods that celebrate culture and honor legacy, and then there's kind of a summary thing. Here's just a crazy idea. Every item that's on the city council agenda could come with a matrix score. That, okay, item number three in front of us is no advancement on seven items, but it advances this item, you know, at a level four. Like, almost everything can be graded based on whether it fits and advances this agenda or not.
Yeah, you know what? We had the same thought last night. What we were talking about was a little deviation of that, of just saying, ultimately having a community scorecard. You know,
yeah.
All right, so where does Baptist Hospital fit in the strategic plan? Well, lots of places, housing,
right,
neighborhoods,
right,
you know, things like that. And then we score it accordingly. Like you said, it's like, hey, the reason we're doing this, community, the reason we're doing this, city council, the reason this is coming to you is because it fits within this plan. And so I think the failures that of plans previous, Andrew, that you speak of are fair, because the key is implementation. You have to have someone who's accountable for implementation, or it just goes into the ether. And then we say, well, man, we had that tough year. You know, we had a recession, whatever the case may be. And then it just gets derailed. And so I think the missing piece is for me to be accountable to it and for the council to be accountable to it. And so we'll see how that goes moving forward. And certainly that's the expectation for myself.
And just one last note on this crazy idea I have is, if you do it on every agenda item, then it gets embedded in people's brains that's the analytical matrix through
Correct.
Which they have to look at everything. And just through trite, ridiculous repetition, people will internalize the goals.
Exactly.
Baptist Hospital, the report comes back, can't be saved, can't be solved, too expensive, tear it all down, right?
Yep, that's right. So environmental study, Geosyntec, we had brought them on even before we had received any state funding, just because for our urgency and wanting to get this done. So it took a little bit of a financial risk there to bring them on, hoping we would get the funding. Of course, we did. And so, the report comes back ultimately saying, you know, when there's black mold growing on top of asbestos, you know, that's not a good thing. We get those theories. I probably get a couple emails a week. Why don't you turn it into this? Why don't you turn it into housing and all that? The cost of repurposing, skinning to the bones and going back ADA compliant, wind rated windows, you know, all those things that you'd have to do, there is no cost savings. As a matter of fact, it's probably more expensive. And so that's ultimately what the report told us. Not a surprise, really. But the next big piece of the timeline is going to be, what's the cost of demo? You know, you got to abate all this. You know, there's different, you can't just tear this all down with a wrecking ball and put it at the dump.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of remediation you have to do, which makes it very expensive.
Including the fuel tanks, right? The fuel tanks issue is a big deal, right?
That's right. That's right. And so where the rubber meets the road is going to be, you know, what's that number in January? You know, we've got about $16 million put together. Is it 10? Is it 14? Is it 35? You know, that's what we've got to know. And so that will give us a lot of guidance moving forward. We continue to work on our donation agreement with Baptist, and you know, everything's progressing nicely.
Yeah, and just for people who maybe didn't, I just read a little bit about this, that, you know, like airplane fuel for the helicopter, firefighting foam with the PFAS concerns, and then diesel for the generators. Like, you know, things you don't normally think about with a hospital, but they make sense once you go, oh, yeah, those are remediation issues as well. I love the road diet coming on North Palafox. We still have not yet. God, I want to talk with you about the two-weighing of MLK and Davis Highway, but we'll get to that some other time. And Bruce Beach opening, which was a big win for several administrations now to get this finally across the finish line. That's great. We always like to end with a lightning round, you know, kind of a little bit of a fun thing. Last week was National Men Make Dinner Day. In your house, who cooks? You, your lady, both, neither?
Both, but honestly, I think I do most of it. You know, when we actually have time to sit down, you know, when we're not eating out somewhere.
Gotcha.
You know, that's my response. I do most of the case. She's looking at me right now.
Good. I've started a healthy conversation in the home.
You're
welcome.
Let me work on that.
On your laptop, stickers or no stickers?
No stickers. I've given all of my sticker distribution to my 10-year-old, who's got 100 Taylor Swift stickers on her computer.
And I assume no stickers on your car or on your Stanley Cup or any of these, your Tumblr, whatever, nothing, no stickers for you?
I have a nostalgic DC Reeves for Mayor sticker on my Jeep.
All right. And then the last one is, this is a little bit news oriented, of course, based on what happened at the Bay Center last week. But when you go to an event, whether it's a sports event or a theater or anything, concert, and somebody is sitting in your seat, what do you do?
Usually, if it's a sold out thing, are there seats open around it?
No.
That's the most important thing. Usually I'll try that if there's a couple seats open. If not, you know, I just do the polite diplomatic thing and say, hey, I think there might be confusion. I don't, you know, I'm a nice guy about it. I don't know. What do you do? You put somebody in a headlock? What do you do?
Well, I mean, if necessary, one's got to have all the options available, okay. Right?
Yeah. You never know what you're going to get into.
Exactly. That's right. I mean, when you know, even if it's the opera, I mean, people need to learn a lesson. D.C. Reeves is the I think that's probably not true. He's the mayor of Pensacola. As always, sir, thanks for the time. We'll look forward to the city council meeting on Thursday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.